Beautiful summer weather. Beautiful summer evening weather, too, if you're heading out to the Barn Theater of Augusta, as we like to say. And the current production is one that should bring joy to your hearts, especially for those of you who grew up with a certain Nickelodeon television show called SpongeBob SquarePants, the Broadway musical. I'm not kidding that this is actually a piece of theater that will kind of change your mindset, at least for a little while, the idea of community and friendship and how to work together. It's a great experience, and here to talk about it is director Eric Morris and the actor playing Patrick Starr, Patrick Hunter. Welcome to Classical WMUK. Thanks for joining me here today.
Thanks for having us.
I'm glad you found our little building on Western's campus, and I mean... From what I've heard, and I talked to Robert Newman a couple of weeks ago about the schedule and how things are constantly churning at the Barn Theater. I'm so glad that you could find time to do this, because it's kind of a nonstop summer for all participants.
Oh yeah.
So I think I'll start with Eric. You're the director. You're kind of the guy in charge. It's the vision you're putting together. And that involves, you know, directing actors, but it also involves signing off on staging and choreography and the look and the sound of the entire piece. Do you have a story about being introduced to SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yeah. Well, it was on Broadway a few years ago, and it, again, like we talked about, it kind of ended up being a little bit of a, I think, surprise hit in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
You know, it really being created by a theatrical mind such as Tina Landau and all of the folks that were involved, Tom Kitt being a great theater, you know, music director and arranger, and just the score, original score, with songs being penned by Aerosmith, David Bowie, Cyndi Lauper, John Legend, Lady Antebellum. The entire score is just full of, you know, songs that could be pop hits written by these people. And it just kind of became this, like, just this huge, amazing piece of theater that's so unique, you know, based on this iconic cartoon.
I just have to clarify
this. Yes.
Are these reworked pop songs that they already wrote?
No. All of these songs are written specifically for the SpongeBob story. And they're very, very, they're placed very well in the story. And it's a great conceived piece. It follows a very linear storyline. And all of these songs written by these famous people, they really move the plot forward. And it's a very, very well-constructed musical.
It's shockingly cohesive.
Yeah, amazingly cohesive, right? Amazingly cohesive.
Cyndi Lauper, David Bowie, Lady Antebellum.
Panic at the Disco.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the Flaming Lips. Just all, yeah, and all of these, yeah, and they really use their style of writing and music to you know, it's not like they're writing the same style of song. You know, it's like Aerosmith is very clearly a pop rock or a rock and roll song. You know, John Legend gets a little, you know, a very, very lovely pop ballad. You know, Cyndi Lauper and David, you know, hers is a up-tempo kind of, you know, very bubblegummy pop song.
And nice.
Yeah, so their styles are all throughout the show. And again, it makes it super cohesive, but also very unique. And the styles that you're going to hear music-wise, you know, they're all over the map. But it works super well, and it's so fun.
You have a lot of options these days in creating a musical for the stage, and and that would, especially in this day of COVID, which hasn't yet gone away, you can use pre-recorded backing tracks and live voices, and that would be my guess as to what you would do. You're shaking your head.
No, we've got a full band on there, and you know there we've got that Chris, our music director, has you know, reorchestrated this score to really fit our musicians that we have, and we're able to really just give the audience a live music experience with a full pit, and it sounds so good. It's just such a great accompaniment to these unbelievable singers that we have on our stage.
I can see from the website, barntheaterschool.org, that there are nearly 20 people in the cast covering all sorts of roles, from a French narrator to, of course, SpongeBob himself and Patrick Starr's best friend. So maybe we could hear from Patrick now. You are cast as Patrick Starr, and tell me about your role and your co-star who plays SpongeBob.
Sure. Well, SpongeBob and Patrick are sort of the duo at the core of the story. What's fun about the musical is that they are – it's not like going to a theme park and seeing, you know, mascots or in costumes and stuff. You know, it's us. It's our faces, you know, and we are certainly styled like the cartoon characters. But it really is about seeing sort of the human embody that energy and that spirit of the character, you know. So SpongeBob is just all about relentless positivity at all times. You know, SpongeBob is about it's the best day ever, every day for SpongeBob. And Patrick is well, he's a little I think simpler, you know, than SpongeBob, and he's a little more about kind of his personal comforts, you know, and his TV and his snacks, and, you know, really wanting that not to be disrupted. What happens in the show is that when confronted with a major catastrophe that could endanger the whole town, Patrick, in his simplicity, is chosen as a savior of the town, right? Because Patrick has the simplest solution, which is that if everybody closes their eyes, then everything will just go away, you know.
And hey, that's my first go-to.
Right, and people respond to that very well. So then Patrick becomes somewhat of a cult figure, which causes a rift between he and SpongeBob, and they have to then come back together in order to collaborate and to solve the problem and save the town. And it's a lot of fun. And my co-star is Aaron Zarnicki, who is a recent graduate of Western's musical theater program. And he is a very, very talented young man. And he does a fantastic job. And it's a huge role in terms of singing and in terms of dialogue and in terms of, you know, like I said, SpongeBob is all about relentless positivity, you know. So he's really driving the whole show, and it's up all the time. And we have a lot of really cool effects because SpongeBob being a cartoon, you know, you have to figure out, you know, how does, when SpongeBob's arm is supposed to stretch the length of the stage, right? How do you do that? Or, you know, SpongeBob and Patrick are supposed to blow a giant bubble. How do you do that? Or all of these sorts of, you know, these avalanches and what else? Jellyfish,
different, yeah.
And it is set bubbles, under the sea. That's
right. Lots
easy.
Of bubbles. And,
yeah, there's just all sorts of stagecraft, like little trickery that that has to happen. And we get to sort of have fun and coming up with creative solutions for that, of how to put a cartoon onto the stage.
I think, too, just going off of that a little bit, when I think about – I was an only child growing up, so I kind of – I had to make up my own plays and my own worlds and my own – you know, when I was out in the backyard or in the basement, you know, I kind of took the, like, what do I need to find around the house that's going to give me my best Superman cape, right? Like, so, and that's kind of the style and the concept that we went with for this show, is that what can we find – around the barn or in our, you know, in our imaginations, that's really going to allow us to do these huge cartoony effects, but also maybe have a kid who's sitting in the audience see something that we're doing and be like, oh my gosh, that's what I would have done if I would have needed to do that in my backyard or in my basement when I'm you know, imagining, you know, and playing pretend, you know. So this entire concept is just using what we have, using our imagination to really do these kind of what could be grandiose technical effects, but doing them, you know, really simply and and connecting with a child out in the audience.
You're not trying to fool anybody, but you are trying to engage the imagination where you do believe that that piece of cloth is a cape.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my guests here today are director Eric Morris and Patrick Hunter, who stars as Patrick Starr alongside Aaron
Zarnicki
as SpongeBob SquarePants. The show is currently running, so you need to run to the website barntheaterschool.org to get your tickets. And it will continue all the way to August 15th, so this weekend and next weekend. But that's not quite saying the scope correctly because shows run Tuesday through
Sunday.
Through Sunday.
Monday's the only day that we don't have shows.
That's just incredible to me. I thought of a few questions to follow up with, including how does a student like Aaron Zarnicki apply and become an associate of the Barn Theater, and how does that work? A few other things. But first, let's take a musical break. Let's hear a number from the show. Would one of you please set up Bikini Bottom Day?
Yeah, so Bikini Bottom Day is the opening number to the show, and it is constructed as quite the introduction to all of the characters. You'll literally hear from almost every single character that's going to be a part of our story, and it's again strange. It's a super well constructed opening number that was super fun to stage, and it's just a great way to start our show.
We'll be back with Eric Morris, the director, and Patrick Hunter, who plays Patrick Starr, in just a moment. Here's Bikini Bottom Day from SpongeBob SquarePants, the Broadway musical.
Ah, good morning, world, and all who inhabit it. Jump out of bed, mix up a breakfast for my favorite pet snail. Full steam ahead, the SS I am ready is about to set sail. This cat day couldn't get much better, but it keeps on trying. Yeah, I'm on my way. Somewhere there's a Krabby Patty that needs frying. And who's the lucky sponge in the mirror who is living his dream? Who's always extra careful with his dental hygiene? Gary, it's me. Happy just to be here in the world renowned Bikini Bottom. How I love this town. Bikini Bottom, our own hometown. Bikini Bottom and the sun shines down. The sun shines down. Yeah, the sun shines down. The sun shines down. It's a typical,
incredible,
a regular,
exceptional,
wonderful. That's from SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical. We heard sort of the big opening number, Bikini Bottom Day. And here in the studio, if you just tuned in, we have actor Patrick Hunter, who stars as Patrick Starr, SpongeBob's best friend, and director Eric Morris. And the production is currently running at the Barn Theater. You can find tickets at barntheaterschool.org, and it will continue all the way through August 15th. So you have plenty of opportunities to see SpongeBob SquarePants, the Broadway musical. During the music, you mentioned, Patrick, that actually this is a really new one, and it's been very hard. This might be one of the first times in West Michigan that people have a chance to see it.
Absolutely. It's definitely in this region in particular, it's certainly the first professional production. And I think probably the first production. This is a pretty new product. And we're in the first wave of professional regional theater productions of this particular show. And so we're really excited about that.
So it's, and so would us audiences be. Some of us actually, you know, we read the reviews of the shows that just opened in New York, and you know, get kind of excited way in advance, and then the soundtrack comes out, and you're like, oh, I gotta listen to that. Yeah, a lot of people, including myself, can get pre-prepared.
Sure.
I'm pretty excited about shows like this one.
Absolutely.
So maybe there are some people out there who have already been dancing to it in their cars or their living rooms.
There were some people in the audience last night that were singing along with some of the songs.
Is that right?
You know, having it be an original score, it's like they, you know, they were able to. They've gotten a hold of it and they're excited about it. So that was pretty cool.
My kids know all the words. They have known that for like the last 2 years. They request to listen to SpongeBob the Musical, so that they
tells you something
before I even knew we were going to do it. So they're very excited because they, you know, again, they'll be singing along too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we heard in that opening number, there are a lot of intricate things going on.
Oh yeah,
a lot of parts being sung, a lot of no doubt choreography being danced, and it's sort of because the Olympics are currently on in Tokyo. I keep thinking about the preparedness of music theater actors, because it's at least a triple job, if not much more, and I'm always in such admiration of people who take these parts on, who've trained for it, and some of them at the very beginning of their careers, and it just still can blow you away. So perhaps, Eric, you could talk to that level of commitment and training. Can I make a parallel to Olympic training here?
Oh, my gosh. Of course. I mean, especially with a show like SpongeBob, where, you know, the music just evokes so much movement, but also the stylistic differences in each song, you know, the types of movement that you're going to be doing is going to vary from song to song. You know, I mean, we have a hip hop number in this show. So that's, you know, one type of movement that you're going to be doing. You know, there's kind of an abstract kind of the end of the world song is happening, written by David Bowie, that we're kind of using this almost very modern kind of lugubrious kind of I'm underwater type movement. So that takes a different, you know, different set of muscles and training. And also on top of it, you got to be, you know, you're going to be singing your face off. And you also, in this show, you have to be very committed to the physicality of your character, which in many cases is a crab, a lobster, a fish, a squirrel, you know, in this particular show. So to just be completely invested in your character physically to do these different types of dances, it's such a big toll on your body, you know. And it does. It takes a lot of training and focus and concentration to be able to do that. Keep up the energy for, you know, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Keep up the focus for 2 hours and 15 minutes. And then, you know, come down, do a bar show in a lot of cases, and then come back to work the next day and do it all over again. So the training that you have to have, and just kind of the mental, physical, spiritual, just kind of preparedness is very, very important. And for sure, these are definitely triple threats in this show in particular, for sure.
Now, many of the cast would be from the Apprentice program, which is a longstanding and venerable tradition at the Barn Theater. And these are young people in their very late teens, early 20s, college age for the most part, who have already been dedicated to singing, dancing, acting since they had access to theater in school. Mm-hmm. So they come with audition tapes. Mm-hmm. They come with routines, monologues, la-la-la. And you mentioned that the star of the show, Aaron Czarnecki, is a Western Michigan University theater program. It's a great program. One thing to still illustrate is that it's not a regional program. This is a national program.
Yes. We have our apprentices come from all over the country. I think we have some this year, a few from the West Coast, a few from kind of up Northeast, some who go to school in New York City, a few from Florida. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, some from the Midwest as well, from schools in Michigan and Ohio. Oklahoma City University, we have a couple from there. They have a great musical theater program.
Carnegie Mellon.
Carnegie Mellon, right. In Pittsburgh, they have a great musical theater program. So we really draw from a lot of the the kind of top tier of musical theater training programs in the country. And we get applications from everywhere. I mean, a couple years ago, we had a young man in the apprentice program from Hong Kong. You know, we had like an, you know, which is more rare for us to have international apprentices, but you know, it does certainly happen, and it is, you know, the Barn has been doing this apprentice program for a very long time, and it has a strong reputation for hands-on professional training that really teaches the apprentices how professional theater operates beyond just I have my role and I'm going to, you know, show up on the day and do my role, you know, which typically in the professional world you have a lot less time, right? Because a lot of people are getting paid, right? So time is money. So you have less time to put up a show, and you also have a lot of different professional artisans bringing their expertise to it. So our apprentices really get a look at that too, rather than just the performing side. They get to work under scenic painters and prop designers and costume designers, and they get to get a little taste of the whole operation.
It's the word immersive.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Coming to mind here. And because the schedule is nonstop shows, there's not actually a lot of time to break down and freak out over your role. You learn the lines, you learn the choreography, and then you start preparing the next show even as you're
right
performing
and
nightly.
I always say I think that the schedule we work on produces really good work because it teaches you how to trust your instincts, because you really don't have time for anything else, right? So you really – it kind of – strips away your ability to overthink and to talk yourself out of something, or to, you know, really sort of belabor a certain character. You really have to just make a choice and go with your gut, you know? And I think a lot of the time that – I know for me anyway, a lot of the time that's some of my best work comes when I, you know, am under that deadline, or I – you know, and you really just have to say, this is my gut feeling about this. This is my instinct for this moment or this character, and I'm just going to go with it and follow it 100%. And you end up kind of getting, I think, a lot of the time some of the purest work that you can do as an actor, because you're not able to say, you know what, I'm going to try this 55 different ways and then, you know, pick my favorite one. You know, you really just have to make a strong choice and go with it.
SpongeBob SquarePants, the Broadway musical in one of its first runs in West Michigan, is currently at the Barn Theater in Augusta. And you can find tickets and more information at barntheaterschool.org. The run continues through August 15th. And then next week, another musical starts, The Wedding Singer. And we'll be talking with some professionals from that as well. I know we should be focused on the story and the music. However, there was some recent news. Thing in the news about the Actors Equity Association changing some of its rules.
Yes.
Now, to preview this, I know that apprentices appear for three seasons or three summers with Barn. Is it, or when do they how do you earn an equity card from the Barn?
Yeah, it has changed a little bit over the last few years, and then changed a lot in recent recently.
Okay. So this is a union.
Yes. So this is the Union of Professional Actors and Stage Managers. And so you had to previously it was you had to earn 50 weeks of employment under the membership candidacy program, which is what programs like ours. And then they changed it to 25 weeks of employment to try to kind of remove those barriers a little bit, especially because there aren't really that many programs like ours that still exist. So it was just 50 weeks became harder to come by. And now what they've done temporarily, the EMC program, the membership candidacy program that I spoke of, still very much exists. So our apprentices are still earning weeks toward their equity card. But they have opened up membership so that if somebody who has worked professionally at all, so our apprentices are now eligible for the next 2 years if they would want to join the union and pay that initiation fee and make that commitment, that they could for the next 2 years. Really anybody can. And they wanted to Do that for, I think, a variety of reasons, but just remove some barriers to membership, especially, I think, in this kind of post-COVID reopening world. I think, you know, they wanted to really sort of solidify the base of mm-hmm. union performers. And, you know, it's a big commitment, you know, because you remove your ability to do any work that's not union after you join, you know. So that's the that's what they're weighing right now. It's not as simple as everybody just saying, you know, hey.
I was like, what were your first reactions? Because they'd be mixed, right?
Yeah. And I think long term, it's probably a good thing for the union because more members means more bargaining power. And in the future, hopefully that means more contracts, more theaters operating under union contracts, more touring productions operating under union contracts. But in the short term, you know, it might be tough for some people who think, hey, this is much easier. I'm just going to go ahead and sign up, you know, but then you're really limiting the work that is available to you because there is still a lot of, you know, well-paying non-union professional mm-hmm. work that is out there.
Mm-hmm. Eric Morris, you received your equity card through the Barn Theater.
I did.
Were you proud when it came in?
Oh my gosh, of course. And Brendan and Penelope were so kind and were able to give me my card after my second year of being an apprentice, which was very, very kind of them. And I wanted to, you know, at that time in 2009, I wanted to move New York City with my equity card because, you know, that really does allow you to audition for more things. I mean, literally
thing.
Just at the base value of it, you can now get into open calls that, you know, for union members. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the reasoning behind it. And it did honestly make my first, you know, my first couple years in the city, it made it a little easier. You know, you still had to get up early and make sure that you were in line and signed up for your auditions. But, you didn't have to wake up at 2 a.m. to be there waiting in line at 4 a.m. for a call that started at 9. You could kind of, you know, so I really did have more opportunities to be seen and audition for more things when I was there. And I, you know, the apprentice program at the Barn, again, like Patrick said, it's really, especially now that I've started directing, a lot of the experiences that I had at the Barn on all different sides and all facets of professional theater, I'm really able to understand the importance of collaboration and the importance of each department and the work that they put into it to a show. And I every time I direct a show, I look back at those apprentice years and I'm like, I really have a appreciation for collaboration and the time that it takes to put up a wonderful show.
We're going to go back into the musical and this Broadway soundtrack now with Just a Simple Sponge.
Yeah.
Perhaps you could tell me something about this song.
Sure. So this is written by Panic at the Disco, and SpongeBob's dream is to become the manager of the Krusty Krab, which is where he works as a fry cook, owned by Eugene Krabs. Mr. Krabs just keeps telling him, he's like, "You'll never be manager. You're not manager material. All you are is a simple sponge, you know." And this is kind of at the moment in the show where we learn that there's a pretty major disaster that is going to overtake Bikini Bottom, and SpongeBob kind of wants to be the person that goes out, or be the sponge, if you will, that goes out and saves the world. And he still just is being told, "You'll never amount to anything. You're just a simple sponge. That's all you'll ever be." And this is kind of the I want song of SpongeBob the musical, if you will.
I spend my days floating around, head in the bubbles and my feet on the ground. But there is more to me than just my name. Give me a chance and I could change the game. And maybe one day, Mr. Krabs, you'll say, "The Krusty Krab's yours, it's your lucky day." That is what I've always wanted. Then I can finally say I've done it. Let me have adventure, a contender and more. But that
stop me. When the going gets tough, this sponge gets going. No, I'm not a simple
a number. Just right? A simple sponge. I'm in the studio here with director Eric Morris and actor Patrick Hunter from SpongeBob SquarePants, the Broadway musical now playing at the Barn Theater in Augusta. You can find details at barntheaterschool.org or stick around for another segment as we chat about the musical live here on Classical WMUK 89.9 FM and at WMUK.org. We have one more song coming up to illustrate this piece. But let's get back to the themes of sure. Mm-hmm. SpongeBob SquarePants and why it may have had an uphill climb with critics who were like, do I need to see an adaptation of a children's TV show? But it completely won them over. Mm-hmm. I remember reading that in the Times, in the New York Times review section, just like, I wasn't prepared to like it as much as I did.
Right.
What are some of the things that helped that happen?
You want to go?
Yeah, well, I think going back to the designs for one thing, just kind of the conceptual elements of the show. You know, I think like Patrick said, you really can kind of get in this idea of, am I seeing a theme park show on stage sometimes? And you know, when you think about these cartoons, or you know, it you think about the costumes maybe getting to the point where they're just, you know, foam heads of people and all of that. And I think that kind of maybe back some people away, you know? I mean, but knowing that
it would look like mascots on
right,
stage.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's kind of what, but the costume and scenic designer, I mean, he really, it kind of took this theme of, which the cartoon does as well, anything that could potentially sink to the bottom of the ocean could be used to on a costume, on a set piece, on a, you know, so I mean it really was a very smart design that the costumes, again, you get to see the faces of the actors, you get to see the physicalization that they're bringing to the character rather than relying on some sort of, like, you know, cartoony mascot, if you will. So it was very, very smart in that way.
And just thematically, I think it's really, SpongeBob is about, as I said before, about, as a character, he represents relentless positivity.
Mm-hmm.
The show really is ultimately about the spirit of collaboration and community and togetherness, and that when they're confronted by a major catastrophe, that everybody, all of the different various characters, have their own solution for the way it's going to get fixed. And nothing really gets fixed until they join together and they work together to solve the problem. And that's ultimately what the show is about. And I think that's incredibly relatable to everybody, to our, you know, current society and just society in general. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing that we're all trying to figure out all the time, is, you know, how to work together to kind of solve the problems of the world, you know. And I think SpongeBob does that and discusses that and explores it in a really fun and upbeat sort of way, so that you're really it's not kind of hammering you over the head with any sort of message, but at the end it's like, oh hey, once they all embraced community and they all started listening to each other, then they were able to solve the problems, you know. So I think everybody can relate to that. And I always like when a musical, you know, we talked about this a lot when we did 9 to 5, the musical, earlier in the year, which, you know, 9 to 5, of course, is about the women taking revenge on their boss, who is, you know, a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot, is mm-hmm. what they call him in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it approaches these themes that are incredibly relevant to so many people, but does it in a way that is still musical theater and is still like upbeat and heartwarming mm-hmm. and a good time to watch and, you know, good entertainment. And I always like when a show can do that. And I feel like SpongeBob really accomplishes that very well. It has a really strong message at its heart, but it presents it in a package that's really appropriate for everybody and that everybody's going to love.
And with this great score, it truly ends up becoming, as we've been saying at the theater, it's a show for everyone. It's not geared towards kids. It's just kids. It's just as entertaining for patrons of all ages. And we've seen that. People have, everybody that's come to see it, whether it be, a child or, people that have been coming to the barn for, 30 years, they've really enjoyed the show. And
I think it's the grown-ups who will appreciate songs by Aerosmith, mm-hmm. David Bowie, mm-hmm. yes. Panic at the Disco. That's going to be a nostalgic hit for them, even though they're brand new mm-hmm. songs for the musical. And speaking of those themes, many of the stories of great musicals that have come in history have those themes where it took not just one person,
right.
but a whole team to fight and argue, but to communicate and to get the very best production on stage that they could.
Mm-hmm.
And West Side Story and all of these great pieces. The book writer and the music director of SpongeBob could easily look to their own community to see how it's done.
Sure.
Because it requires this amazing alchemy to put on a musical.
It really does.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I would like to thank you both for joining me here on Classical WMUK. Any further appeals to listeners who may want to come out to the barn?
Yeah, it's really just a fantastic production of SpongeBob that is so specific, I think, just in terms of casting and, scenic design, costume design. We've really just taken everything that the barn has to offer in terms of its equity company, its apprentice company. We've put people in very, very interesting kind of roles and positions that they're really just flourishing so, so amazingly in. Our equity company is such a highlight in this show. And then our scenic design, we've got, such a wonderful scenic painter in Stephen Lieberide out at the barn, and his work is just so vibrant in this show. And then, the ability to just having 75 years, so many years worth of costumes and props and things that we've just collected over the years. And we're taking all of those elements, and there's costumes from past shows on stage. It's such a collaboration of what the barn does so well, just taking
all falls
from
to the bottom of the sea.
Exactly. And I think it's so specific to the barn. It feels like such a authentic barn theater production of SpongeBob, and it's very unique.
Surprise guests,
yes,
as well.
Surprise guests.
We won't ruin it, but there are surprise surprise performers mm-hmm. in the show as well, who have really fun little cameos.
Mm-hmm.
You've had some enthusiastic audiences already. The show opened on Tuesday. And as you mentioned, I love hearing that some of the audience knows the songs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Comes to sing along as well. any final words from you, Patrick?
No, just that SpongeBob is a show that's full of joy and full of great music. And I think any fan of musical theater would like SpongeBob, even if you look at it and you say, oh, I don't know, I don't watch that show. It's just at the end of the day, it's a great musical. And so it's really... I always describe it as infectious. It's just impossible to watch it without feeling that joy in your heart. And it's one of those shows, we have these shows periodically where all of a sudden everybody in the whole cast and crew is just in a good mood, as soon as the show starts, as soon as you at places.
Yeah.
It's like it's just impossible not to be, And so I think that's what a lot of people are looking for out of their theatrical experience, is just something to really just bring them that joy and allow them to just kind of escape for a couple hours into a world that's completely joyful and positive. And I think that's what the audiences will get out of SpongeBob.
Set us up for Super C Star Savior.
Oh, sure. So this is my big number in the show. And it comes from Patrick Starr, who offers the simplest solution to the complicated problem that they are experiencing, which is that if everybody closes their eyes, then maybe the problem will just go away. and a school of sardines decides that Patrick is a genius and that he is their new guru. So they become devoted followers of Patrick Starr. So this is the big production number that ensues after Patrick realizes that he now has become a super C star savior.
Let's hear it. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe I found the star. I believe.